welcome.
Everyone's
I said welcome.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome everybody to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Rosemary Guiley, and she's coming at us live from an undisclosed location. Her websites are visionaryliving.com, ginuniverse.com, that's not spelt with a G, it's spelt with a D-J-I, and two N's, of course. And she is the author of a number of books, including The Gin Connection, The Vegetable Gin. My father was actually a bit of a bad drinker when he drank gin. That might have been part of the context of the book. The Encyclopedia of Ghosts and Spirits, The Encyclopedia of Angels. Now, I find it interesting when you talk about gin and we're talking about spirits at the same time. I don't know. Maybe there's a connection there. In fact, Rosemary is one of the leading experts on the paranormal, with more than 50 books published on a wide range of paranormal, spiritual, and mystical topics, including 9 single-volume encyclopedias. Rosemary has worked full-time in the paranormal since 1983, and her present work focuses on interdimensional entity contact experiences of all kinds, including investigating claims of dimensional portals and geographic locations of intense paranormal activity. She's done some groundbreaking research on shadow people and the djinn. Now, speaking of which, could we get a little bit of a background on what the djinn actually is for those who are completely clueless?
Well, Vinny, we know them as the genie in the bottle. That's the primary way that they migrated into our folklore and popular culture. These entities who supposedly could be trapped in bottles and vessels and would come out as smoke, and they would have to grant wishes to people. And they were always treated in kind of a goofy way in the media, you know, kind of quirky, tricky things that most people just chalked up to fairy tales and fantasy tales. But the djinn, their namesake, the namesake of the genies, they're quite real. And in fact, genie is a corruption of the word djinn, which means the hidden ones. They are a race of supernatural beings who, like other races of beings that we have in our lore, like the fairies, preceded us on the planet. They were here first, and they had dominion over the place. But they lost out to us, and like many of the fairies who also lost out to us, some of them hold a grudge about it, and they get back at us by attacking us in supernatural ways. They can haunt us, possess us, cause all kinds of problems. They're very well known around the world, and one of my purposes in writing about them now is to acquaint a Western audience with them, and also paranormal and investigators and UFO investigators, mysterious creature investigators, that these beings are participating in a lot of our paranormal experiences and abduction experiences, and we just don't realize it.
Now, is there kind of like some kind of a sort of like, it sounds like key scraping on the line there, sort of in the background. Any explanation for that?
Usually I have a very good Skype connection, but I have found that when I talk about the djinn, there is often some interference on the line. There's this high-pitched...
Sounds like jingle bells.
There can be high-pitched whistling, clicking, staticky sounds. Sometimes calls will get dropped, and this can rise and fall. Now, this didn't start, as you know, until we started actually talking about the djinn.
Mm. Indeed. Well, and what I want to find out from you in particular is not only what the djinn are, but in some cases there's a lot of identification with this mentality or the appearances of these entities that people equate with other things, like psychopaths, alien abductions, men in black, so on and so forth. Could you explain, is there a line to be drawn here between so-called reptilians, so-called aliens, so-called demons, etc., and the djinn, or are they all the same kettle of fish?
There are researchers around the world, and I've consulted with many people who have been following and researching the jinn, who say, look, the jinn account for everything except us and the angels. They shapeshift into myriads of forms, and all these other beings, they're really just shapeshifted jinn. I haven't been able to go that far in my own research yet, but I do believe the jinn, as masterful shapeshifters, often appear as other kinds of entities to distract us so that we don't really know exactly what we're dealing with. In the years that I have been researching them and following their threads, the evidence, and all kinds of experiences, I have found their tracks in paranormal hauntings, especially the really negative ones, in possession cases, bad luck cases, alien abductions, ancient aliens, demonic cases, fairy cases, their presence in our supernatural engagements goes very, very deep.
Now this background sound is actually getting really intense. It's even actually starting to hurt my head a little bit. AFR producer, would you be able to get Rosemary on the landline phone number that I've posted in for you there? That would be really nice. Hopefully it'll solve a few of those problems. And seeing as we're not doing webcam, we don't need you on the Skype anyway. So when he responds, we'll be able to do that for you. The unfortunate business is when you're trying to produce live on air is that you don't know what's causing these problems. You don't know how to solve them. Sometimes they just solve themselves, like before you finish speaking. But other times it's just, you know, you've got to just have some backup plans. And that's what we do. Ah, that's blessed. Rosemary's screaming line is gone. And just let me know in here when she's back on the phone line. That would be nice. Over the weekend, good news, ladies and gentlemen. Me and my friend Mikhail from the Paki Hachis, we call ourselves, we finished our first music album. Yay! So that's nice. And I'll eventually be putting that up on the website so people can download the songs for free. And if you like them, you can make a donation of like $20 if you want to download the whole album, I guess, you know, or less, whatever. Do we have Rosemary back on the line by chance? No? Okay. That's unfortunate. I'm just going to sit here and ramble for a moment. In terms of the so-called djinn, wait a second. He's saying yes. Rosemary, are you there?
I am here, Vinny.
Whew! Okay. This is what I wanted to get. And you sound clear as a bell with none of the jingle bells in the background.
Well, I'll hope it lasts.
It was actually really hurting my head. Like, there's certain frequencies and also certain tones of voice can actually start to really, like, give me a migraine headache, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's like, have you ever talked to a completely far-gone New Agey person who's fully adopted the Luciferian ideals and the Agenda 21 protocols and is really anti-human and stuff like that? And they talk in this kind of really scary sort of I'm going to kidnap you and all of your children type of voice? That gives me a migraine. Seriously. All right. Well, anyway, back onto the djinn. We're talking about shapeshifters. Are these the same things that people are calling archons?
I do believe that the djinn have intermingled with archons. Now, whether or not they account for what we call archons, if they account for all of them, it's very difficult to know where the boundaries are. And the djinn may account for a lot of our experiences with other kinds of entities. When I was tracking their presence through the paranormal and supernatural worlds, I looked at a wide range of entities and examined them characteristic by characteristic, myth by myth, the folklore, to see, are we talking about the same thing or just similar beings, or, you know, how easy would it be for the djinn to masquerade? And in the djinn connection, I do talk about the archons, that they have a similar personality. They have a similar method of dealing with human beings, which is a hostile way of dealing with us. It's manipulative. It's for their own gain. And that there are power issues behind a lot of that. We can find similarities to the reptilians, Nephilim, the Anunnaki.
What does an entity that can shapeshift and basically do whatever they want?
They are quite powerful that way. And even in their ancient lore, they were renowned for their shape-shifting abilities. It was usually said that there would be some little flaw in a shape that would give them away, but sometimes it wouldn't be very noticeable, something that they wouldn't be able to get quite right. But I believe that many of our experiences with mysterious creatures are jinn, because they really delight in taking weird shapes that unsettle or even scare human beings. And many of our mysterious creatures are like that, you know, the half humanoid, half animal shapes, or shapes that are animals that should not be. They're combinations of weird characteristics.
David Rockefeller comes to mind.
Sorry?
David Rockefeller comes to mind.
I'm sure all of us can think of more than a few people that could fall under that category.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a very strong presence in the abducting ET scenario. And here again, I don't believe that the evidence at this point supports sweeping statements like they account for everything. But I do believe that they are very heavily embedded in these experiences, and they take on these other guises, mainly so that we don't know what we are really dealing with. And that enables them to pursue a whole range of agendas without us really knowing what's going on.
Well, it strikes me as kind of like in an army, you have many different units. You know, you have artillery units, you have front ground troop units, you have medical detachments and things of that nature. So you've got all this variation, but they're all part of one big army kind of thing. So maybe they're one of the many shock troops, I don't know, of the agents of darkness, which all kind of do similar things to humanity.
We have a tendency to look at other entities in cookie-cutter fashion. It's like the grays, you know. They all look the same, they all do the same thing, and we sort of apply that template onto a lot of other entities, when in fact, they are just as varied as human beings. They have different personalities, weaknesses and strengths, motives. They do different jobs. And so the jinn could be sprinkled throughout our experiences in varying capacities in just that way. Some of them just want to have fun with us at our own expense. Some of them actually become enamored with us, even infatuated. Some of them are downright hostile. And then just like human beings, the jinn have their thugs, bullies, criminals, and even terrorists. So we're dealing with quite a wide variety of types of jinn, as well as different motives, any number of which may come into play in any given situation.
In the ancient texts and things like that, where are the first references to the word jinn?
They originated in, or rather what we know about them, comes from ancient Arabian lore. This is pre-Islamic lore, where they were beings that were said to be composed of the wind and also to live underground. They were usually blamed for the bad things that happened. They were, from the beginning, considered to be tricky, difficult to deal with, beings that you best left alone. You didn't want to incur their wrath or have any traffic with them because they could get the upper hand on you. They were absorbed into Islam. Now, in pre-Islamic lore, there are stories about them losing their dominance on the planet, that they ruled the earth but got to be too arrogant, and human beings came along and they lost their advantage. In Islamic lore, it's couched within the creation of human beings, that before human beings there are angels and jinn, and the jinn have access to the heavenly realms where the angels are. When God decides to create human beings, he tells the angels to bow down before Adam, and the angels who follow God's will comply. But the jinn, who have free will, do not, on the grounds that human beings are inferior to them. And so for that, they are cast out of the realm. And in modern terms, this would be retreating to another dimension, In olden times, it was removing yourself to a remote area, wasteland, or going underground. You know, similarly, the fairies went underground and into remote areas. And ever since then, there have been among the djinn those who want to take the place back, the place that they feel is rightfully theirs.
Mm. So, yeah, it's a game of two halves. Some of the djinn are just like, you know what, let's just live peacefully in harmony, and some others are just like, let's take this puppy back. It was once ours. It's our right. We're better than humans anyway.
There are djinn who don't have any ill will against human beings, but it is said almost universally that these beings really don't want to have much interaction with us. That you know, they're in their world, we're in ours. They're not inclined to help us or do anything benevolent for us. And it's the other faction, the hostile faction.
Rosemary, we're coming to a break. We'll talk about the hostile djinn faction when we come back from the break. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Rappers, but I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I not yet credible, so until I can say I'm credible, I'll say that I'm incredible, respectable, and professional. Do you read me? Am I legible? It's time to get down to the question of eventually, will the corruption in the government lead to the collapse of us? Lead to the collapse of us. Lead to the collapse of us. Lead to collapse above. Right and left are symmetrical on the puppet master's tentacles. The two sides are identical. The troops are not ejectable. They're forming a prodigy and making the Jordan come out of me. It's like recording Nostradamus, taking a tour in the prophecy. The real American.
Welcome back.
The poor live in poverty with the corporate dictator.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You can listen live on the homepage there. And for those of you who are wanting to listen to archives of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, they are all available at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And if you give us a donation or a subscription, or you just want commercial-free archives, you know, just ask, and I'll send you the links, you know. And if you're savvy, you can find them on the homepage there. Anyway, I had somebody criticize me and saying, you know, how come you're giving people who pay money ad-free archives and not the rest of us? Firstly, if I was just giving it to the rest of you, what would be the point in paying? And secondly, I do anyway. and the reason why people donate me money is because I do what very few other people can: give a platform to really interesting perspectives from people all over the world on all spectrums of discourse. You know, if that's a crime, I'm sorry, but I'm freaking guilty. And my very special guest is Rosemary Ellen Guiley. And we're talking about the djinn. And before we got onto the break, we were talking about the slightly benevolent, in fact, rather than benevolent, just sort of like benign half of the spectrum there. And you were just about to start explaining the malevolent side of the spectrum.
Well, that's right. That the ones that we're interacting with are a very skewed portion of the djinn population, because not all djinn are hostile to us, but the ones we're interacting with the most are, and they have been able to cause us significant problems over the centuries. And I do believe that they have a major presence in the ET abduction scenario, which is probably one of their latest fronts of activity. And they insinuate themselves in among the other entities who we're dealing with. I do not rule out that we have engagements with a variety of entities who have varying motives. But the djinn are very good at looking for opportunities. They are fundamentally opportunists who look for the best way to accomplish their objectives. And since they are masterful shapeshifters, by sliding around and hiding in other kinds of entity encounter experiences, so much for the better for them. We don't really know that they're there.
So they're very mysterious and difficult to track down. And this is something that I was talking about a couple of years ago when I first started hearing about these alleged reptilian entities. And I was like, well, there's so many people who are like special forces and so on and so forth that have come into the truth movement since then who believe in that kind of thing. So why don't they just try and capture one? You know, if you believe in it that much, why don't you track one down and capture it, put it on display for the world to see? How difficult would it be to capture an entity like a djinn, though, who's basically made of smoke and can shapeshift into anything it wants?
It's probably more difficult than we might think. Now, I've been told by a number of sources that I've consulted over the years that there are efforts to capture these entities and that there are government interests that are very involved in this. I have no firsthand knowledge of that myself. These are the kind of conspiracy theories that do circulate around, and there may be some merit there to some of them. To me, personally, it would be surprising if we didn't have an interest in trying to track one down, especially if they have these kinds of motives and these kinds of abilities. In magic, the djinn can be summoned and contained. In fact, if you read the Middle Eastern press, there are accounts almost every day of sorcerers who say they are capturing the djinn into vessels in order to exorcise them from people and places. Every week I get emails from people who want to know whether they should buy objects that are supposed to house djinn. And they seem to think that these djinn are going to be their personal servants. I don't think it works out that way if you get the genuine article to begin with. But I believe that they make themselves visible to us when they choose, not when we choose, and that they have the upper hand most of the time when they choose to interact with someone in a very involved way. They do seem to be disturbed by certain kinds of electrical and EMF energies, and sometimes people find that things like simple things like turning lights on or leaving televisions on at night, computers and that sort of thing, will repel or dampen the activity. But like a lot of things out there that are predatory, they can build up resistance to those tactics as well.
So if you're going to protect yourself from one of these entities, I mean, how would you know that one of them's even onto you? What are people's experiences like?
They happen in a variety of ways, and in fact, sometimes it's hard to distinguish djinn from entities that we call demons, who also are very predatory and oppress people and become involved in possession cases. But with the djinn, there are some patterns of behavior that are likely to tip their hand. One is that the pestering of people is in a multitude of ways. People are distracted on a variety of fronts. There's this apparition and that form. There are different kinds of apparitional forms around. There are black shadows. There are nightmares. There's wasting away of health and bad luck and things of that sort. It seems like there's a lot of activity going on in many different forms, and people often think that there are entities responsible for each one of those, when in fact it might be just a single being, a single djinn. They are very self-directed. They have self-centered interests. It's like what's in it for them. They're not serving any spiritual purpose of trying to do us in on a soul level. I think some of them will, but unlike the demons of Christian lore, they operate on their own. They have free will, and so they're looking for opportunities that are going to further their own interests.
As the French would say, they have a certain je ne sais quoi.
Well, absolutely, and It can take the form of religious and spiritual battles. Sometimes that is the battleground, but in those cases, they're often, in our culture, masquerading as something demonic. Sometimes they respond to religious exorcisms, and every faith has techniques for dealing with unwanted spirit presences, and they all work. But with the jinn, they don't, not all of them work all the time in every case. I think that they are some of the hardest beings to get rid of. And every time I interview people about their experiences and I talk to other experts on the jinn, they all say the same thing. Avoid these beings because, once you're dealing with them, they are extremely difficult to get rid of.
Are they the kind of dangerous things? I saw this film not too long ago. A recent film came out with this. This kid can see ghosts and demonic entities. He can see things before they happen. And there's this one type of demon that crawls around all over the place. And if they ever notice that you're watching them, if they ever notice that you're aware of them, they come after you big time, and you're pretty much dead.
Well, some of them do. That's exactly how they respond. You know, there's different levels of awareness in the spirit world, too, and with other entities. And, yes, some of them who are the higher level beings, you know, the ones that are more intelligent, more interested in manipulating or having some sort of invasive interaction with us, once they see that you notice them, you're on their radar, and that can be very problematic for some people. You don't ever get off that radar.
Have there any stories that you've seen of people actually vanquishing one of these entities, banishing them?
I have. I've been involved in what I call persistent negative hauntings here in America, and these are cases that I follow them for a long period of time, and the longest one I followed it ran about 3 years. And we've had situations where we've tried a variety of remedies. Now, I'm not an exorcist, but I will work with people who do those kinds of procedures and consult on that and recommend things. We've tried a variety of things, and the entity seems to go away for a while, and then it's back. I've had other cases where remedies have worked seemingly for the long haul. And again, it's finding something that this entity seems to respond to. So sometimes the remedies are very simple. And for example, in the jinn connection, I have a case from the Midwest where a young man had an attached jinn. And this was one of these amorous connections where the jinn who become infatuated like that with human beings, they attach themselves to people if they can, and then they start interfering in that person's other relationships because they want the person all to themselves. And he finally was able to get some relief by using a very ancient remedy, the Seal of Solomon, which is an amulet based on the magical lore of King Solomon and his ability to command all the spirits in the spirit world. And he used this amulet like a shield at night because he was being pestered a lot at night. And that worked the trick. He had tried other things. He'd tried willpower, keeping the lights on, keeping the television on. There are lots of kinds of folk remedies that are supposed to diminish their ability to manifest and to have power. And nothing would work for very long, but this seems to have had a long-term remedy. Now, I do hasten to add that what we might consider long-term, even a half a lifetime or a lifetime, may still not mean that the entity has gone away, because they don't live on timescales like human beings, and an entire human life is nothing from their perspective. So if they're interested in an area, some of them have...
Well, hold on. How do you know that? I mean, have people communed with the jinn and obtained sort of like ancient knowledge from them or something like that? Are they very old? What?
This is old folklore about them, yes. And, you know, some of the original sources are lost in legend. They get passed on down through the years. And there are people who have had communications with the jinn and get information. By and large, when they're interested in having interaction with people that they don't want the human beings to know very much of what's going on, they don't communicate very much. And if they do, it's to convey their displeasure with people. Yes, we have a variety of sources on the communication. So they are said to live for very long lifespans that in human equivalent be into the thousands of years. So if they go away for a few decades in by the human count, it really doesn't necessarily mean that they've gone away for good. But we have to look at it from our perspective in terms of do we have relief from a troubling situation? And if it lasts for a long time or even indefinitely for us, then we consider that to be a permanent solution.
Mm. In terms of communication with the with these entities, has anybody actually tried to make contact, and what happened?
Oh, a lot of people try to make contact, and an astounding number of people want to make contact for the purpose of conjuring them to make a deal, to ask for favors, because they think these beings are some sort of, you know, sources of goodies out there that are going to do them endless favors, and that's not the case. The jinn do anything for people, there's always an exchange. They will ask for something in return. And in a Faustian kind of way, it's usually not very good for the people in the long run. Other people have been curious about communications. In the cases that I've followed over the years, the negative hauntings, I have always attempted communication through a variety of ways. We've done seances, mediumship, real-time EVP, passive EVP, and sometimes they will communicate. It's usually pretty terse and often very hostile. It consists of messages like, I was here first, I don't like you, go away, or I'm going to make you miserable until you do, things of that sort. Now, there are people who have had...
Rosemary, sorry, we're coming into a break again. Okay. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Rosemary Allen Guiley.
I got some so-called friends. They'll smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know.
Whose side are you on?
Are you on?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's our final segment for the first hour here. And my very special guest is Rosemary Allen Guiley. And I would like to ask as well... Does the jinn, like, in general, is there some kind of, like, anti-human agenda? Because it seems like they're real nasty pieces of work, a lot of them. And what occurs to me then is that birds of a feather flock together, so that there must be a whole lot of really nasty human elements within the world that want to work with them, like in a black ops military or anything like that. Is that a just a crazy assumption of mine or what?
It's not crazy at all, Vinny. I think this sort of activity goes on all fronts, and actually it's been going on since human beings started having communities and conflict. We have always sought supernatural aid for our causes, and we've invoked the help of gods and spirits to vanquish the enemy, to further our cause. And, of course, these are subjective judgments because one person's enemy is another person's friend. Entities have always been petitioned in that way. And it goes on today. We shouldn't be surprised about that at all. So the jinn are asked to do favors for people, to strike out against enemies. We had reports in the news media about 2.5 years ago from a sorcerer in Iran who said that he had jinn that he sent out on intelligence operations. I've had interviews with U.S. soldiers who've come back from the Middle East, like Afghanistan, and they'd never heard of the jinn until they got there and had strange experiences they couldn't explain, and learned that the jinn were being used against them as supernatural warriors.
Could you elaborate on those stories from U.S. soldiers gone to the Middle East and witnessed strange experiences?
Well, they often see the jinn, like we do in haunting cases, as black shadowy forms that shapeshift in different ways. They look like silhouettes of human beings. And a very common variation of that is the bedroom visitor, who looks like a man wearing a coat and a hat. But they would be often seen at night. They would hear the lore about them, about how they should never be crossed because you will suffer for it. Some of them have come home with the signs of jinn attachment. They've had certain kinds of nightmares. They see these black shadows in their homes. They have health issues and bad luck. Some of it's being diagnosed as part of post-traumatic stress, but it could also be symptomatic of jinn encounters. I have one case where a soldier who was very badly wounded was approached by this entity who he, you know, had no idea what it was, but the entity offered to save him in exchange for a favor, and then it wanted favors in return. And this entity has since followed him home. So we tend to reject these things as superstitious nonsense in our culture, but these sorts of things are very real. They have been since ancient times, and they go on today. We should not be surprised that terrorists, that our political opponents in certain parts of the world could be looking to supernatural agents like the jinn to increase our problems.
Well, because they believe in black magic and dark entities and things of that nature, and in fact try to cultivate them. I mean, there's some ritualistic sort of satanic practices where they're actually really trying to open up children, usually within occult families, to demon possession, so that they can become one of the family for real.
Well, we have plenty of those kinds of interests in the modern Western culture, too. But, you know, the stories that have surfaced in the news media, they just tend to be ignored and dismissed. I mean, even in 2002, we had the interview, and I cited in the Jinn Connection, with the sheikh who commented on the murder of the journalist Daniel Pearl. And he said in this rhetoric to America that we ought to be more worried about the jinn than human terrorists, because they were capable of doing us a great deal more harm. Now, you know, we have people today who invoke spiritual assistance. They pray to religious figures, to the angels. They people will ask for all kinds of things, help, healing, miracles, often good things for themselves. But it's not unusual for people to pray against their enemies and to want spiritual assistance in striking their enemies. That's praying against. And, of course, this is all subjective, because if you feel you're in the right, you don't feel you're doing anything evil. It's the bad guy you're trying to get rid of, and that's really a subjective call. So we do these sorts of things all the time, every day. And sometimes it's we're very deliberate in looking for spiritual assistance for manipulation to wreak havoc, and other times we're calling upon it in the interest of helping ourselves. But in helping ourselves, it may be at someone else's expense.
Does that mean, in general, that these entities only usually try to, approach people who already have a belief in some kind of spiritual dimension? And they leave atheists and so on and so forth alone because they just don't believe in them. They're like, yeah, what's the point?
Entities who are opportunists are going to look for the path of least resistance, the easiest targets. And so it stands to reason. I think this has been the case throughout history, that people who want power, they're greedy, they want to create a lot of havoc, they make easier targets because they can be manipulated for personal and selfish gain. And I've had some of my sources from the Middle East tell me that these sorts of things are business as usual in many parts of the world, summoning entities to further your political ambitions, for example, or your quest to build a huge fortune. Human beings make themselves vulnerable all the time in those ways.
Hmm. So let's say somebody prays to Satan or something of that nature. Would a djinn just go, you know what, I could pretend to be Satan for a moment just as long as I can manipulate this douchebag?
I do believe that those sorts of masquerades happen, and here again, we often think we're dealing with something else. And if it suits their purpose to be, for example, a Christian demon and behave in certain ways, then that's what they're going to do. In the djinn connection, I talk about some of the work of Michael Hollowell, who's an English paranormal researcher and had quite a bit of experience with negative cases. And he told me about one case he had where it was a djinn who was acting like a demon and putting on a great show for the religious exorcisms, and then it would just go and hide somewhere and come back. It wasn't affected at all by that. The problem is that we don't really know where the boundaries of these situations are, what the playing field is, literally what the playing field is. We can't just automatically assume that all things are going to be negative, and that all entities are going to be negative, and they could all be the djinn, because then we wind up shutting ourselves off from the good side of the spirit world and the high-level spiritual energy that really powers our spiritual growth and expands our consciousness. So it seems that we really need some education and discernment. We need to be better educated about the spirit world. I don't think that most people in the West have a very good idea of what exactly is out there. It's people tend to think in black and white. It's either an angel, so it's good, or it's a demon, so it's bad. And actually, our encounters happen in a playing field that's very much in the middle, and it's very gray and murky.
Well, it sounds to me like if they've got the ability to shapeshift, as you say, that they could masquerade as pretty much anything. Their desire is what? To amuse themselves?
Well, here again, we find multiple purposes at work.
Be a cancer on humanity's spirit? What?
For example, we have the out-and-out, what we would call the terrorists, the one that wants the one to wreak as much havoc as possible, and with the idea of gaining dominance over human beings. And then we have the ones that are just out for a lark. They're amusing themselves. Then there are some that are in between. They're more self-serving about getting something from human beings. They may not care about a grand plan, so to speak. So we have a lot of things at work, and it's as varied as human beings interacting with each other. We are a planet of many conflicts, many harmonies, and as we see every day in the news, clashes of purposes, objectives, and desires.
Mm. Well, you know, I would like to know, maybe in the next segment here, we're going to be coming to break soon, whether or not there's sorts of wide-ranging remedies, maybe even supplements or things that you could take, like a gin tonic, as it were. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Rosemary Ellen Guiley is my guest. Don't you go anywhere, folks.